Good morning. Is this on? Can y'all hear me? Yes? Yes? Nod or no? Yes? Turn it up. Can you turn it up in the back? Yeah, I don't think this is on at all. Thank y'all for coming out here in the, it's chilly in here. We're getting the heater going, but my name is Ashley Kinsel. How many of y'all have never been to Awake before? Like, this is your first time, Karen? Okay. Oh, hey, Debbie. If y'all, at the front, we have our Awake calendars for spring. They're going to look like this, so that'll tell you what we're going to be talking about and the dates, and then our connection cards, as well as Christ Healing Center spring schedule, if you're wanting to get involved in more prayer or classes of that nature. This December, right at the end of December, we got a puppy. And last night at 2 in the morning, I'm standing out there in my bathrobe, taking it outside to go potty. I'm like, oh, wow, why did I do this? Like, why was I thinking this was a good idea? It's 19 degrees, and I'm, I got the 2 in the morning shift. And so at least it's a little warmer than it was last night. Today we're going to be doing the Father's Blessing. And if you've never had this before, it's a beautiful, beautiful impartation. And I'm going to speak for just a little bit, but I had asked Jack Sheffield, the father of this house, to come and impart and do that, because it's an activation. And many times as we're growing up as children, whether our earthly fathers are available, whether they're not, we subconsciously begin to form ideas of who God is for us through that father figure. Some of us have father figures, maybe adopted dads or uncles or whoever you translate as a child and in your teens and as you're growing as a father figure. A lot of times we equate that to who God the Father is. And none of that is really true. And it becomes so subconscious that we're not really open to experiencing Him as the Father. And that's really what I want to do for you today. And I want to read first out of James 1:17. If you want to follow me there, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, and it says, "Every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness, and is never subject to change. God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of His infallible word, so that we would fulfill His chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all of His creation." We get to be His favorite ones out of all of creation. If you remember in the beginning of learning about Jesus in the Gospels, it talks about how Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And when He came up out of the water, the Lord said, "This is My Son with whom I'm well pleased." And what Jesus was doing was showing us that blessing that God gave Him, that's available for all of us right now. But see, oftentimes we are not, we don't know how to experience God that way. We know information about God, we can memorize scripture, but we're not really sure how do we experience Him. And one of the first things that God said to me when I was thinking about this talk was, "Ashley, this relationship is all about receiving." Our relationship with God is all about receiving. We don't have to work at it. We don't have to work ourselves up. We don't have to get the best daughter award. It's all about receiving. In fact, the Latin word for receive is recompare. Re meaning back, compare meaning take. So we're going to take back what was ours in the first place, which is a God-given identity. Beloved daughters of God. It's all what we're going to be doing today. So when Jack comes up, he's going to share for a little bit. And then he's going to invite you to come up and really lay hands on each of you and give you a father's blessings. And I encourage you to come up and do that simply because I remember coming here, 10 years ago. And I had been so shut off from the Lord for about 15 years because my father had committed suicide when I was 22. And all I heard at that time was, "I'd rather be dead than be your dad, and you're not worth living for." So rejection, abandonment, unworthiness were so loud in my life. They were the lens in which I looked through the world. And I remember thinking, like, who would ever want to be with me? Like, who would ever want to be around me? Because once they really find out, they're just going to not want to be around me. And I really felt like God hadn't stopped it. I really felt like God had let me down. I felt like, God, did you cause this? I had such a distorted picture of who God was that was the last thing I wanted to do, was to experience him. And yet when I came here for prayer, that was the first thing that Jack wanted me to experience, was how much God loved me. And so the first thing we did was we walked through forgiveness of God so that I was able to be open to forgiving God and allowing him to bless me. See, oftentimes we're so used to being instructed and disciplined that we really don't realize all God truly wants to do is bless us. And we hinder our own blessing by staying shut down, by numbing out, by compartmentalizing, by not allowing God into those places where the pain is, because we think we're going to get stuck there. We think we're never going to come out. We think, well, that's just too painful. I don't want God to touch that. So if I just push that this way, God can have all this other, but all this is just going to stay tied up in a bundle. And the Lord's like, you're not going to get stuck there. I was afraid I was going to cry and never stop. I was so shut down. I could even feel how shut down I was. And that was exactly the opposite of what God wanted for me. He wanted complete and utter freedom. So Jack, I'd love for you to come up and take over. And we're just excited that you're here. And thank y'all for being here and trusting us. We're really excited about Awake in 2018.
Thank you. You bet. Is this on? Can anybody hear me? Hello? Can you hear me okay? You sure? How's it on? Hey, hello? Hello, hello. How's everybody? I've heard of the Frozen Chosen before, but this is ridiculous. All I know, I'm an Episcopal priest, retired. We moved here to start a healing center in 2004, and it's been the most fun I've ever had in my life. It's been amazing. And I just love to pick on Episcopalians because I'm one of them. So there was this phone that rang at St. Swithin's, and this is what he said. I want to talk to the head hog at the trough. And she said, sir, if you're referring to our rector, you may call him Reverend, but you certainly may not refer to him as the head hog at the trough. And he said, oh, shucks, ma'am, I just wanted to give $100,000 to the church. She said, hold the phone, I think the big pig just walked right through the door. I feel like a big pig today. I just feel like I want to burst. I'm so proud of what Ashley and Casey have done in August, and Glenn. I want to burst with joy for what in the world is happening to you guys. And I just want to say thank you so much for stepping up when Ashley got in her place. When she stepped down as chairman of the board, which we wouldn't want to do to any human being on the planet. No, I'm not kidding. Worst year. I just want to say that she did a fabulous, fabulous job. And we brought Casey in. And I want you to know that when she stepped into her place as executive director, this place just took off. I mean, it just soared. And then when I stepped into my place, which is to be ambassador for Christ Healing Center anywhere or everywhere, it has taken off like nothing I've ever seen in my life. We've been on international TV. We've gone out to 196 nations. On March the 23rd with God TV, we're going to go out to 240 million households. This week, I'm going to Jerusalem to start a healing center. Come on, somebody. Come on. It's seminal. It's at the very earliest stages it could possibly be at. But we're going to be working with God TV Israel. So I'm just saying to you that it makes a difference who your dad is. Amen. Can I just jump into that subject now? When I got saved in 1973, I had a revelation of Jesus Christ. I found out that I could have all my sins washed away, all my torment, all my fears, all my all my doubts, all my anger, all my self, you know, destructive patterns. Have y'all ever heard of the hippie movement?
Yeah.
I barely remember. But I just want to say to you, then I went to an Episcopal church that was so spirit-filled that a woman had died in the pew, and the priest came down and fell on her, and on the way to the hospital, she sat up. She was pronounced dead. And she, in the ambulance, on the way to the morgue, she sat up, scared that driver half to death. She's fighting the sheets, going, "Where are y'all taking me? Anywhere you want to go." So she said, "I want to go back to church. I need to get my communion." So Episcopal. I found out who the Holy Spirit was at that church. That's a miracle in itself. I found out that the Holy Spirit will come and live in you and fill you to overflowing, and a river of living water will come out of you. Life will start to come out of you. It'll flow into you and it'll flow out of you. And so I've operated in that for years and years, and the returns have been really wonderful. It's been amazing. But a few years back, I asked the question, who is the Father? I was reading in John, the 12th chapter, the 23rd verse, it says, "And anybody who serves me where I am, they shall be also." This is Jesus talking to his disciples. If anybody serves me, there my servant will be. Where I am, there my servant will be. Where was he? A lot of people think he's talking about heaven. He's not talking about heaven there. He's talking about the seed going into the ground and dying. And then when it dies, it bears much fruit. That's here. The bearing much fruit part is before we get to heaven. Could y'all say amen?
Amen.
Could you not if you're in the physical heaven? He's talking about where I am with the Father, there you shall be also. I read the other day that Jesus never called himself the Son of God. He said, "Well, yeah, before Pilate did." No, Pilate, he said, "You said so." Mm-hmm. He always called himself the Son of Man. Why? Because he was the prototype man. He was the man that put aside his glory in heaven so he could be a human being just like you. He wasn't half God and half human. He was all the way human.
Yes.
But he was all the way filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what you referred to. At the River Jordan, heavens opened up, and the Father spoke audibly and said, "This is my Son, my Huios, in whom I am well pleased." The word Huios is very, very interesting in the Hebrew language. I'm learning a little Hebrew. I found out how bad it is the other day. It's got an accent like you wouldn't believe. All the emphases are on the wrong sides. So I'm in trouble right now. But they love you when you try. And so, I forgot what I was talking about. What was I talking about?
Learning
Hebrew, yes, but
yes.
Yes. We got I go off sometimes, folks. So, Huios means the Son, fully matured, ready to go into business with Daddy. That's a lot better than, "Here's my child, and I bless him. I hope he makes it, you know, doesn't make too many mistakes." This is an epic event that has never happened in all of history before, nor since. The Trinity showed up at the Jordan River. Had never, ever happened before, ever, in history. And really like that has never happened again since. Jesus was baptized by John. He said, "Let all righteousness be fulfilled." I like the word "all." He didn't say half righteousness. Some of y'all are going to make it. Some of you aren't. Some of you are going to have to try hard. You're going to have to really, really bust it to get this done. He didn't say that. He said all righteousness is in you right now as a result of that baptism with John. It was fulfilled. If it's fulfilled, that means it's full. And it's not lacking. Many of us don't know the Father's blessing because we're trying so hard to impress Him. I did it for years. I said, God, would you bless everything I'm doing? He's Jewish.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to bless what you're doing. And one day I was so exhausted on my bed, I just collapsed. And I heard audible, Son, which was, I believe, Will, you're not waiting on me. And I learned to wait on Him and do what He's doing rather than doing asking Him to bless what I'm doing. That's how I believe we're going all over the world. Because we're not doing it to get Him to bless it. He's blessing it, and I'm just trying to keep up with it. That's different. And it's not as hard. I'm not working like I was before. And so, who is His Father? My mother had a revelation of the Father. It was a cold knee. She was raised Baptist in Mississippi. It's cold there right now. And her image of God was a cold knee. The Father, she said, I don't know who the Father is. I wouldn't know a father if I saw him walking down the street. She was an orphan. And so, that's the best question you can ask today. Who is God? God is your Father. In fact, if you look at it from the standpoint of St. Paul's theology, God is your daddy. He's your Abba. We rented a big old house in where I grew up in, from a Jewish family, and they invited us over their home for a meal, and all the little kids would run around going, Abba, 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 and they'd jump in their daddy's lap, Abba, Abba. And I thought, man, what must that be like? Because my daddy was very remote and very, very, very distant emotionally. And I didn't know what it was like to have an Abba until, you know, right before my daddy died, 2 weeks before he died, he was watching Billy Graham on TV and he gave his life to Jesus. No. My daddy's in heaven. And I didn't realize how much I love that man. I didn't realize how broken he was and how hurt. He was a professional ball player and he fell down and broke his elbow and lost his dream. And I don't think he ever got over it until Billy Graham. Amen. I want to tell you, father wounds are real. And sometimes you can't get your image of God healed. You can't go to that higher revelation until your father wounds are healed. Because fathers give identity, they give protection, and they give resources. Fathers will stand by you through anything. Others will hold you in their lap. And you will never go through anything by yourself. Because you got a daddy. Jesus said in John 17, Father, will you love them, talking to all the disciples and consequently to us. Father, will you love them with the same love that you love me? How much would that be? How much did the Father love Jesus? That's the love He wants you to experience from the Father. And I like to see it as inverse. I like to see it as, Father, will you help them to love you the way I do? Ooh, how much did Jesus love the Father? He spent all night with Him all the time. He did everything He said. He said, I delight. That's a weos now. That's going into business with Dad. That's not just being a child who's being taken care of. That's being a partner with God. And the weos, it gets the inheritance. Everything that the Father has goes to the weos. And listen, ladies, if y'all think that the language is all masculine, if I can be a bride, then you can be a weos. Is that fair enough? St. Paul was the most liberated human being that ever lived, as far as women are concerned. In Christ Jesus, there is no male or female. We are all the sons of God. We're all the bride of Christ, including me. I used to wear a dress on Sunday mornings, for God's sake. What more do I have to do this? So, father wounds. I love to tell this story. Some of y'all have heard it. But one of the first people we ever prayed for at Christ Episcopal Church
when they gave us four rooms to do our healing ministry with. A lady came in, she was a grandmother, and she said, here's my grandson, you do something with him or I'm going to throw him out of the house. And he was very angry. He had a rage problem, and he threw a book at a teacher, and they threw him out of school, and they weren't going to let him back in. And she took him to us. I said, thanks. I said, would you have a seat, sir? And he sat down. He's just looking at me like this, just as angry as he could be. And I got a question from heaven. You ever get a question from heaven? When does the fear go in? He looked at me. He said, when my daddy left me, a big old tear come up on his face. I said, when did your daddy leave you? He said, I was 5 years old, and I begged him, Daddy, please don't go. He's putting his bags in the car. Daddy, please don't go. Please, I'll be a better boy. Please don't go. Daddy, don't go. And I watched him drive off. And I said, can I invite Jesus? You know, Jesus will show up anywhere. He'll show up on the sidewalk. Eternity is not a long time. Eternity is no time. That means he can show up anywhere, anytime he wants to. All you got to do is ask him. I said, you got Jesus? He said, I think so. And I said, Jesus, is there anything you want to say to this boy? And he closed his eyes. And he'd been in church, okay, all his childhood. And he heard Jesus say, I'm not like human daddies. I don't weep. And I watched him sit there and weep. And I was weeping with him. I'm still weeping. This was 13 years ago. He looked at me and he said, man, I thought you were going to give me a lecture because I had my collar on. I looked good. I looked like I knew what I was doing. He said, man, I thought you were going to give me a lecture. He said, I didn't know you was from God. I said, oh, yeah, we're from God. And I'm learning how to be my daddy's boy. And I want you to help me. He got on our healing team. He gave me permission to tell this story. And he got on our healing team. And one time there was a cowboy that had a busted knuckle from riding a bronc. And he came to me and this young man for prayer. And when we laid hands on him and prayed for him, he was actually, this young man put his hand on those knuckles. And when he prayed for him, he said, what do I pray? I said, just say, be healed. And he said, be healed. And it was healed. Became one of my dearest, dearest sons ever. Father, love them. That's our prayer. Father, love them the way that you love Jesus. I want to just say to you that there's a vast difference between being a petitioner and a son. One last story. I have a friend here in town named Alan Vincent. He's a very powerful, apostolic kind of a man. He started 100 churches in India. And he used to teach us, like about 80 of us pastors, he'd teach us all the time in a thing called a school of the word. And he told this story. He's from Great Britain. We all know God's British. Speaks in the King James. Sounds like an Episcopalian. He had this friend that was a missionary in Bombay. He lost all his funding and all of his kids were going to starve. And Alan said, I hear you're going to Great Britain. He said, I know a man that knows a man that knows a man that knows a man that knows Prince Philip, the husband of the queen. That's impressive. And I know the person you can talk to at this particular ministry, and if you can get an appointment, and if you can, you know, have the prince sign off on a document, every foundation in London will line up to give you money. And he said, I don't think that's going to happen. He said, well, try. You never know. And it happened.
I don't know how it happened, but sometimes God will do things that are just so beyond your imagination if you know you're a son. And so, but he felt more like a petitioner. And he didn't feel like he really had any right to get before the husband of the queen. But there he was, sitting in this office, waiting on him. The door opens up, here comes Prince Philip. This is in 1962. I remember that year. And this was when Prince Edward was about 2 years old. And he was playing on the floor while this man is being interviewed by the prince. He's playing on the floor because he didn't like to be away from his daddy. And he started crying because he broke his toy. And the husband of the queen, Prince Philip, gets down on his knees. He says, "Excuse me, this is my son." And he fixes this little boy's toy. And the page is there, and so he pats him on the bottom, says, "We're going to transact some business now." And he sits down in front of the missionary, and he says, "Sir," he says, "I've got a very important appointment, and I'm going to have to go. Can you tell me what you need?" He said, "I'm a missionary, and I have children in Bombay. And, sir, I'm out of money, and I need help." He said, "Do you have the proper documentation?" And he said, "Yes, I do." Pulls out the document. The prince signs it, gets up, and leaves the room. There are about 5 to 7 minutes left in the interview, and he's sitting there by himself. And he said what he held in his hands was the salvation of his life's ministry. Mm-hmm. But it was nothing compared to the revelation that he just got. And that revelation was there's a vast difference between being a petitioner and a son. So Father, I ask for the revelation of the Father today. I ask that you would put us in that place where Jesus lived with you. You're the prototype man, Jesus. That means every one of us can walk where you walked and do what you did. You said, "The works I do, you shall do. And even greater things than me. Because I go to the Father." You said the greatest revelation there is in this earth, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the Father. That's a promise from the Bible. The Holy Spirit will come, you said, and reveal the Father. Lord, we need a daddy. We'll never walk in the fullness of our sonship until we know our daddy. Until we live in the place where Jesus lived with his Father. How gracious of you, Jesus, to share your sonship with people like us, with broken, hurting, weak, sometimes doubting people. You come. You send the Holy Spirit to say, "I'm your daddy." So I want y'all to, right now, I want you to just stand up. We're going to anoint you in a moment. And the anointment is going to be the empowerment to walk in sonship. But right now, I want to give you a blessing for sonship. How many of you would like to receive that? Okay. Would you open your arms up like this and just make a funnel? How many of y'all want to have something flow down from heaven? How about a blessing from Abba? "I am your Father, says the Lord, and you are my daughter. At the moment of conception, I held you in my hands, and I lovingly placed you in your mother's womb. I have been with you from the beginning. I have always been with you, and I will never not be with you. I am your Father. My eye has always been upon you. I've never even blinked. I love you more than you can possibly imagine.
But I love you enough for you to be able to experience it and walk in it. Beloved daughter, I'm just a breath away in every moment. I bless you today. I pull back my bow with my strong right arm, and I send you forth into your destiny. And you're going to hit the mark. For I, the Lord your God, baptize you in love, baptize you in faith, baptize you and bless you in steadfastness in your relationship with me. Because I, the Lord your God, am blessing you. I call you forth. I call you forth. I bless you with fearlessness. I bless you with joy unspeakable. I bless you with peace. I bless you. I bless you. Amen. All right. Have a seat, please.
Anybody feel good?
Yes.
That is the most extraordinary experience that I've ever had in my life. Alan Vincent did that for me. And I love passing that on. But I want to tell you, I got some oil here that is from heaven. And I just got to give you a little short testimony. When I was on God TV filming, there was a couple of young men, and they had a Bible. And this Bible started filling up with oil. And they decided, well, it's making a mess. And it wasn't destroying any of the ink. It wasn't destroying even the yellow marker. And most of the Bible was marked up with yellow because the guy said, it's all good. Two really funny guys, very humble gentlemen from Georgia. And they anointed the set before I got on. And when I got on and I opened my mouth, everybody in the studio began to weep. And that did not come from me. That came because of what we were anointed with. And this oil is that they actually had to put the Bible in a 5-gallon bucket. And it fills up the bucket every week. They will not sell it. They will not market it. It's too holy. And they're so sweet and humble. They will give it to anybody that asks. And they don't want anything in return. That's extraordinary. And so I came here and I anointed a bunch of people, anointed Casey, a bunch of people. And it had gotten down pretty low. And a bunch of us started laughing because the moment we stopped anointing people, I looked at it and it had filled itself back up again. I hope y'all don't think I'm weird. But I called Johnny and I said, Johnny, I got to tell you what happened at the Awake program that we had. It refilled itself. He said, I get that all the time. And so I asked him if he would send me 10 bottles. He sent me 10 bottles. I counted them myself. They were in the bubble bath. I counted them. 10 bottles. The next time I went to that package, I had given 3 away. The next time I went to the package, there were 15. I know you're looking at me. I don't understand it. I have no idea. But the Bible talks about signs and wonders. I have no idea. I went to Cuero last Thursday and I anointed everybody in that room. And I promise you, and I have at least 25 people as eyewitnesses. I was taking the vial and just taking a little bit of the oil and rubbing it on people's sinuses to cedar, and somebody had migraines, I'd rub it on him. I blessed people. I at one point pulled my hands up and they were soaking wet with oil. And there was no way. That's all I use. There's no way my hands could have been dripping with oil when that's all I use right there. It would have happened. So I got another story to tell Johnny when I call him back and thank him. But I wanted to bring this oil to you today because I believe God wants to give you an impartation of how to walk in sonship with a Father. not just be blessed by it, but be empowered. Would y'all agree? There's a difference. This is called an impartation. The prayer was a blessing. And Ashley's going to do it. Casey, would you come? We're going to anoint you guys. We're just going to ask you to come up row by row. It's not going to get weird. We don't do weird. You know, we're not going to go boo boo. We're as safe as we can be. But I tell you what I love about this community is this community is very, very sane. You know, we don't scare people. But can I tell you something? It's still supernatural. Is that right? We still see miracles. And so I believe you're going to be anointed to see miracles. You're going to rise up in 2018 like you have never risen up in your entire life. You are going to walk in high places with your God. Come on. So, all right, shut up, Jack. Let's go. We're going to come up row by row.